We're going to look tonight. The word if can take your faith. The word if. And boy, we need to learn that word and how to not let it take us from our faith in our growth of Christ. Luke 4:1, and the point one is not for character. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. The Christian life, we're to be fishers of men. Fishers of men. Satan, some of you don't know this, never thought of this, is also a fisher of men. Satan wants you, number one, not to get saved. Number two, he doesn't want you to ever share the gospel. And number three, he wants you to be questioning God. Because if he can question you to question God. Now, you usually start that by questioning your parents or your preacher or someone else. And you start questioning. And I always try to remind all of our teenagers, someday you will be a parent. Someday you might be questioned. Someday you might not be perfect. All the pundits are telling everything that Governor Romney did wrong. All of a sudden, they all know what happened. They didn't know what happened before the election, but they know what happened now. But if you ran for president, I wonder how good you'd do. I tell you one thing, I'm glad I'm not in politics. I am so glad I am not in politics. But someone has to be, that's true. And we got to pray for them. They do have to be. Well, God was definitely proud of his son. That's not why he got tempted. That's not why he was tempted. And by the way, keep this in mind. After a high spiritual experience, you will have the greatest temptation you've ever had. Mark it down. After a high spiritual experience, you will have temptation. Now, if you understand that, you're not going to be succumbed to it. But you do need to understand that. Can you imagine the physical strain on Christ's body? He had a human body. It must have been awful. Many temptations come during time of physical sickness or when the body is weak. And they come when you're alone. He wasn't with his disciples. You know, we kind of hold each other accountable. Our high school guys are holding each other accountable. Our high school girls are holding each other accountable. They're holding each other accountable. And if they see one of them going astray, they will say, hey, get back on the path. But Christ was alone. What was he trying to do? He wanted to get Christ to bypass the cross. Although that's not the main reason the Father allowed him to be tempted, because the Father knew that Christ would not bypass the cross. Then why? Well, hold on to that thought. It's coming. But he wanted us to short circuit. He would like to have all mankind to be lost. Christ goes to the cross, all mankind could be saved. All mankind won't be saved, but they could be saved. And he wants us to doubt our relationship with God. He wants the students at our school to doubt their relationship with God, or students at Dayspring Bible College and Seminary to doubt their relationship with God. And if he can get you to doubt it, if he can get that F in there, he can win. He wants you to become independent. He wants you to do your own thing. You don't need God. You don't need Dayspring Bible. You don't need those rules. But see, if you're right with God, all the rules in the world won't bother you. They won't bother you. But if you're wrong with God, every rule bothers you. Just get over it. It's no big deal. He was tempted not to give Satan a chance to defeat him. I've been thinking about this a lot. And I bet you that Satan kind of knew that he couldn't defeat him, but he was going to try anyway. Couldn't defeat him, but I think he wanted to try. But why was he really tempted? Because I know the Father knew that he wouldn't fall. I knew he knew that he wouldn't fall. Why was he tempted? Why was he tempted? Now, this is worth coming out for. This one statement here, if you get nothing else tonight, it's worth coming out for. You know why he was tempted? You ready for this? So that he would know your pain. And when you go through a terrible time, he knows it, and he knows your hurt because he was tempted in all points. You get that? Man, that gives me chills. He understands it. That's why when I'm in a real painful situation, some of you are in the most painful situations you've ever been in, but when you go to this living word and you open this living word and you say, God, I am hurting. And this living word, 66 books of pills, 66 books of pills that can help your hurt, that can help your life. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Open it up and it helps you. You're in pain. Now listen, all of you, try that. Now I believe in the Psalms. I believe the Psalms was written for hurtful mankind. And you need to do that. You need to do that. The first Adam was tempted in a beautiful garden. The last Adam, those of you who've been to Israel, we think we know where he was tempted. When we were at Jericho, now you can't go and stop at Jericho anymore. You can go by Jericho, you can see Jericho, but you can't stop at Jericho because that's not a safe area. But you look up on those hills and upon those mountains there, small mountains, and it's flat and it's desert, and we think that's where he was tempted, and I believe it's where he was tempted. There wasn't a shade tree. There wasn't a nice little spring. You know, you go to En Gedi and you see the water coming out of the Judean hills. But he wasn't at En Gedi. He was where there was no springs, where there was no trees, where there was no comfort. The last Adam was really tempted in a terrible, vicious wilderness. And he was being tempted by the devil himself. Now, sometimes we're tempted by demons, or maybe not the devil himself. He's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. He doesn't know everything, but he's powerful. But he's not even a contest with the Lord Jesus. It's not the Lord Jesus 99 and the devil 1. It's the Lord Jesus 100 and the devil 0. But he can still put a whipping on us, can't he? He sure can. He sure can. But in 1 Corinthians 15:45, as it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Wow. You see that? A quickening spirit. That's the last Adam. Do you know when you get to your wit's end, you'll find God lives there? It used to be a town called Wit's End. I wouldn't want to live in that town, would you? There's some really weird towns. Paducah, Kentucky was halfway between Monkey's Eyebrow and Possum Trot. Now, I don't know why I told that. My wife loves to tell people that, so I just thought I'd get ahead of her and tell it. It's true, though. Possum Trot? Yeah, Possum Trot. You know, we grew up and we'd eat home one Sunday morning, and then every other Sunday we'd eat out. It was the only time we ever ate out. And we'd go to Possum Trot. They had some of the best, some kind of macaroni. I don't know what kind it was. It wasn't macaroni and cheese, but it was sure good. The best macaroni, whatever it was. Some of you kids, they still like macaroni and cheese. They're 16, 17. What do you want? They go to Country Buffet and they get macaroni and cheese. That's what they get. Now, there's some exceptions. Josh Julian, man, that guy can eat. I don't know why he's not bigger than a semi, but he can eat. It goes down both legs, starts filling up at his toes. And Dr. Scudder, would I insult you if I went and got my fifth plate of dessert? No, because it doesn't cost any more. You go right ahead. Aren't people funny? They want to be in the front of the bus. They want to be in the middle of the road. When I was coming tonight, and I don't have very far to come to church, there was a guy driving in the middle of the road. I said, Lord, just because this is in my sermon, you don't have to give me an illustration. And the back of the church. Isn't that amazing? Look at this. All these prime seats. Now, you pay for it for the pageant. You pay extra for it, but not for church. Isn't that strange? I can't figure it out, and I'm not going to try. It's not worth it. Someone said it's because the preacher's spitting. It might be true. In the first temptation, Satan wanted Jesus to use his divine powers to meet his own needs outside the will of God. Now, do you understand that Christ on this earth never used his own power as the God? He used the power of the Spirit of God, but he didn't use his own power. He only lived as a human. He had all power, but he didn't use it. He didn't use it. And he could have escaped the cross. He didn't have to go to the cross, but he did go to the cross. And he took the sword of the Spirit with him. Did not use divine powers to win. He used the same weapons we have. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. As a Christian, you can escape. You can never blame God. I actually had a man in my office years and years ago, and he actually said, if God didn't want me to commit that sin, he'd have taken it away. God never takes away your free choice. What is temptation? Well, God tries you, Satan tempts you. God tries you to see and show what you are. Satan tries to get you to sin. Satan is behind. Even though we're still responsible, if there was no devil, you wouldn't be teaching evolution in our schools. Everybody would believe in creation around the world. If there were no devil, you wouldn't have had what just happened in some man that believes homosexual marriage is all right. It wouldn't have happened. But we have a devil. And the devil's going to make us worse and worse as this day gets quicker and quicker. I believe we're so quick to that rapture. That's why I had Gabriel read that to you today. Because that's our great hope, isn't it? We get raptured. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking to the upper taker. We get raptured. Isn't that great? The desert, barren, shelterless, hot sun, burning sand. Horrible. No fragrances. Desolation and solitude. And here Christ was. Look at cast out in Luke 4:3. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Did you all see the bread back there today? How many of you saw it? Man, how many of you got it? I hope you did. Give it to your neighbors. He cast doubt. It is written. Well, he said, if. You see the word if? If. Are you really the Son of God? If. The command. He knew how to give a double temptation. Could he have made those stones bread? Could he have done it? Well, of course he could do it. I was looking at a show of the ocean, and they put this submarine down in the depths of the ocean, and they found 70-some new species they'd never found. And when you see those creatures at the bottom of the deep ocean, you say, could anybody believe in evolution? I mean, one evolution example would be impossible to happen, but one after the other in the bottom of the ocean. Boy, there are amazing things down there. I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going down there. There's some weird-looking stuff. Devil hates anything with humanity. Humility. He hates any of our kids that are staying humble. He wants them to get proud. He wants you to walk around like you think you're something. That's why we played that public school this summer, a group of them. That's why we did it. I'm proud of our boys, but I'm not thinking that they're the next Michael Jordan. I don't think they think it either. I don't think they do. But the devil hates humility. He's trying to tempt Christians that they don't have to have a relationship on God. They can be independent of God. Opportunity knocks, yes, but temptation bangs hard on the front door. Bangs hard. Opportunity knocks. Temptation. And it goes forever. You always have to be on guard. You always have to be ready. He doesn't use point blank denial. He doesn't come to you with horns. He comes to you with an if. He comes to you with if you're the Son of God, if the graft's his, if onto a holy thing, if. We as Christians, we should never travel without being prepared. We should never travel anywhere without our doors locked in our cars. We should lock our doors. I had a man, he really did this. He came to me and he said, "Pastor, I'm disturbed that you locked the church." I said, "Why?" He says, "You're not trusting God." I said, "Why am I not trusting God?" "Because we locked the church." He said, "Well, God will protect it." And then his daughter looked right at him. She said, "Yeah, like you did our car when it got stolen?" Now, there's people that think that way. I believe you should lock your doors. I believe you should be careful when you drive. I think you should be in a parking lot and look around. I really do. I think God wants you to. But then after that, he protects you. Now, parents, if I hear one more person tell me that their kid needs a cell phone for protection, let me tell you something. Let me tell it real clear. I'd rather have my kid spiritually mature and safe than physically safe any day of the week. If you sign a statement saying, "I will not let my kid have a cell phone," well, he said, "What's so wrong? Why are you..." I tell you what's so wrong. It's too much temptation. They can't handle it. You've heard me say it. I'll say it one more time. When I grew up, there's one phone in the whole house. And whenever I was on it with a girl, my dad was on the other end. Why would he do that? I know why he did it, because he knew I was stupid. Parents, don't make apologies, but it's just too much temptation. These kids texting, even some of these college kids, it just makes me sick. Can't you talk? Sometimes they sit at a table and text each other. That boils me, that takes my blood away. I'm boiling. That means you're stupid. You say, "Boy, you're a mean guy." I know it, but I'm trying to protect their kids. Did you ever hear of talking? You ought to try it. It's wonderful. You know, some of our kids went down to the Bulls game. They didn't have a phone. Why aren't you afraid? Listen, I'd rather them obey the rules that we have any day. You know what I was thinking? I know they're not going to be drinking. I know they're not going to get drunk. And I'm going to trust God to take care of them. Oh, but... don't give me. If you sign your name and you say you're going to abide by something, you don't do it. That tells me you're not much of a person. God will take care of that. What if he does? God never has died. He's not even sleepy. I hope you got that. Ezekiel 36:29. "I will also save you from all the uncleanness. I will call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you." The best half of men and women lives not by bread, because the best half is soul and spirit. That's what we need to protect. Man lives not by bread, but by God. You put your trust in God, you trust him in everything, and I guarantee you, you will live. Tempting Christ. He could have taken the stone and made them bread. He could have taken the stone and made the Empire State Building. If he can make the heavens and the earth, there's nothing he can't do. We can't even comprehend his humility. But he was humble, and we praise God for that. We praise God for that. Now, friend, if you don't know Christ, I want you to know him. Look at my right hand, if you would. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no boasting. It's a gift. How do you get a gift? You just receive it. Isn't that great? You just receive it. How do you receive a gift? You take it. Like when I threw those balls and those boys couldn't catch it. Dr. Horning had the absolute gall to come up and say, did you realize the only White Sox supporter caught the ball? That was low. I'm so fed up with the Cubs, I don't even care. I really don't. Now, I'll change that as soon as they start winning. You know, if I live to be 180. Do you see it, though? It's a gift. How do you get a gift? You receive it. Look at this. This billfold represents sin. This is you and me. God said, I love you, but I hate your sin. Christ, who never sinned, was made sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that great?